I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Blue had a baby. That's impossible.
Hey, girl.
You look just like your mother.
I promise you, I am gonna get her back.
Genetic power has now been unleashed.
We made a terrible mistake.
The doomsday clock might be about out of time.
Gonna survive. What matters is what we do now.
I can use your expertise.
You coming or what?
A baby raptor? I made a promise we would bring her home.
You made a promise to a dinosaur?
Yeah. Why?
Everybody hold on to somebody.
That can't be right.
Biggest carnivore the world has ever seen.
Run!
See? Not so bad.
Hello and welcome to an adventure 65 million years in the making, which just goes to show that if you've waited that long, there's probably not much to talk about. There'll be no thrills, no spills, but plenty of belly aches. Yes, it's Jurassic World Dominion, and joining me to watch a film so long and boring, he's sure to have got a mega sore ass, is comedian David Hoare with an H.
Yes, H-O-A-R-E.
Very important.
Which technically means nothing, but still means that my life is hell. So that's good.
Isn't it some sort of foliage?
So without an E, it's like hoarfrost, like some kind of cold, or like a hoary old man.
Okay.
But the technically the way it's spelt, my surname has no meaning. But just like this film.
Hooray!
I brought it back into the narrative.
Yeah. It's almost like you're some sort of comedian or something.
Some sort, yes.
When people say to you, I suppose you think you're some sort of comedian, you can go, I am.
Yes. When I was doing Twitch streaming, I was about to be like, this is a fun story, but then it just sounds really arrogant. I won an award at the Musical Comedy Awards, and I hung it just behind my head. So when I was doing Twitch streaming and someone was like, this isn't very funny, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, this award disagrees with you.
Oh, nice. You did it. You pulled the Gervais, as it's called in the industry.
Oh, please don't. No, thank you.
Well, I'll be generous and say a Spielberg in that Austin Powers sequel. There you go. Which is tangentially related to this film.
That's true.
What with him having produced it. Now, you suggested this film, and I was dead pleased. because I took my children to see this because they're into dinosaurs and stuff, and even they didn't like it. So that's how good
this film has such a special place in my heart because just before it came out, I was supposed to go to three weddings in three different countries with my girlfriend. And at the first wedding, I got COVID. And at the second wedding, she got COVID. So we ended up going to a bunch of different weddings without each other and didn't see each other for like a while. Okay. And so we were like, let's go on like a proper date and hang out. Let's go see Jurassic World Dominion.
What could possibly go wrong?
And we pissed ourselves laughing so much that I think some people left the cinema, not because the film was bad, but because we were laughing so loud at it.
Good, that's what it deserves.
Yes. It doesn't deserve any claim. My friend is in it, so every time he appeared on screen, I was like, oh my God!
Who is your friend?
Ahir Shah, a comedian. There's lots of comedians
in this. I was going to say, there's a lot of comedians in this, yeah.
Because it turns out Colin Trevorrow loves comedians.
Will you still love me, Colin Trevorrow?
Sorry. I didn't get a look in. No, it was filmed during COVID and Ahir was doing our online Zoom show and everyone else was just like doing it from their bedroom and he was clearly in a hotel.
Yeah.
And he was like, I cannot tell you whilst I'm in this hotel.
Mm.
And then like messaged me afterwards like, I'm going to be in the new Jurassic Park. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
What? What? Yeah. And so I've heard some interesting stories I can bring up along the way.
Excellent. Even though you've named and shamed him now. There you go.
Well, you know. Well, the main thing we did was just sit in the cinema and every time his face appeared, we're like, it's Ahir Shah! Because it's just big, big shots of his head. But yeah, very, very exciting. And did you know, I also noted here, for linking back to your lovely Bond podcast, that Sam Neill auditioned to be Bond.
I did. Yeah, yes. The Living Daylights.
Was it?
Yeah, I've seen the screen test. It's good.
Have you?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah. Oh, if it's not on YouTube anymore, it's definitely on the Living Daylights Blu-ray DVD.
Okay.
Yeah, amazing. He's good.
He said it was the last time he let his agent bully him into doing anything.
I don't think he wanted to do it, and he doesn't like talking about it, really. but it's the scene from Russia with Love, you know, my friends call me James Bond, that one. And I think he's fine, but they went with Tim. But talking of now this... Because a fixture of lockdown, I think, was Now This. It was quite popular at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Here's a dog that learnt how to ski. That sort of thing. But this is Now This. Dinosaurs living among us, and it's great. Or is it?
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Because we've got dinosaurs freely roaming the earth, right? And there's a company we hear called Biosyn Genetics who have established, who have been given sole rights to look after dinosaurs.
Yes. Do you think that a company with the name Sin, do you think they could be evil? Twirls mustache.
Maybe. I think someone should have been looking after the optics on that one. Should have called themselves Barney Dinosaur Man.
Well, Colin Trevorrow does have writing credits on episode 9 of Star Wars.
Yes.
So that's kind of his credentials are.
That's essentially. Well, that's his writing credits on that Star Wars is essentially his painting of a Spitfire or a gold clock. It's very much fuck off. Because he had that film in his lap. And
yes.
Then Book of Henry came out, and for some reason, Lucasfilm went, yeah, no.
Is that a film Colin Trevorrow made?
Yes.
Is it also dog shit?
Yes. It's about... I haven't seen it, but I've read all about it and seen videos about it. And it's about a child who suspects his neighbour is a serial killer or something. I don't know. Very weird.
Okay.
Does
anybody do parkour in that?
No. But someone sits down on a parkour knoll chair. Now, I was in the same room as Colin, Will You Still Love Me, Trevorrow, once. I went to an event at the Royal Albert Hall, and I happened to wander backstage. I wasn't. A friend of mine let me in, and we walked through that room.
Okay.
Which sounds like I was going to assassinate someone. It wasn't like that. I wasn't Sirhan.
Is that where he got the idea for the Book of Abraham?
That's right, the Book of Henry.
Henry Selick.
Yeah. Cilla Black's favourite person is Sirhan Sirhan. anyway, I walked to the room and Colin Trevorrow was in there with Jodie Whittaker. Yeah. There you go. No, I'm not suggesting anything was going on. They weren't. They were in separate areas of the room. They weren't.
Oh, okay.
They weren't like lying down or anything.
They weren't
cuddling.
Both going, shall we piss off everybody that loves a particular franchise?
Yeah.
Shall we do that?
Yeah, fam. he had Star Wars. He lost Star Wars. So he went back to this. Because I think that's the reason why he didn't direct the second one, Fallen Kingdom, which is equally shit.
That one's just kind of like nothing-y.
Yeah.
Like the first half is like, we're back on the island because we have to go to Jurassic Park in a Jurassic Park film.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half is kind of weird.
It's so fucking stupid. It's like two. It's like a cut and shut, isn't it? You've got Jurassic Park stuff we've seen before and then like a haunted house film.
Yes, very much so. Well, the second, I mean, so I really love this franchise.
Mm.
Because the first film I just like genuinely adore, like one of my favourite films.
Hmm.
And the premise is if you go somewhere where dinosaurs are kept captive, they'll escape and eat people.
Yeah.
And then the premise of all the sequels is, ah, no, it happened again, just over and over and over again. And so, yeah, they were like, but what if it happened again? In a mansion, spooky.
Very good. And Toby, what if Toby Jones had big teeth? Imagine that. I'll keep you up at night.
Subtle audition to be Jaws in a future Moonraker remake. Just Toby Jones.
Yeah, well, you'd have to stand on the shoulder of another small actor to be Jaws. Because he's quite a small man, is what I mean. And Jaws was famously a tall man. He could eat shredded wheat and a spoon. So Toby Jones can't do that. Not that I know about, anyway. He can be Dobby, that's it.
That's true.
Anyway, what were we saying?
Avoiding talking about Jurassic World Dominion.
Well, I was just going to say, just to put it in there, I can make a case for the first three Jurassic Park films. I think they're all fun in different ways, albeit the second two are flawed.
Yes, they're also just great effects, and that's what I like about these films, is they really go to town on the effects, but they do get progressively sillier, which I also like. So we went to go see Jurassic World, the first and second series.
The Force Awakens Jurassic Park film.
Yes, the parallels between the two franchises are mental.
Yes, but,
we went to go see the fourth one with my friend, and he came out being like, that was one of the worst things I've ever seen. Whereas like when the film finished in the cinema, I gave it a round of applause because I was like, look at it. Look at it giving it a go. It had some fun with dinosaurs. And like you can't make the Jurassic Park again.
No.
Like, it's such a special, like, all the parts just fit together so nicely. And so they're just using, it's like a video game just churning it out every year, where they're using all the assets, just like, how much money can we make out of this?
Yeah, and it also works on the assumption that people would be like, it'd be like if, I don't know, like Al-Qaeda, right? After 9/11, we then, like, set up a park we could go and have a look at them. And then and they kept getting out. That's a really bad example. But the point is, dinosaurs consist
of terrorist park.
Exactly. Or serial killer park. Like, it's just Peter Sutcliffe keeps breaking out.
You have an ISIS? You have an ISIS?
Yes, we have a Harold Shipman. Harold Shipman could go 30 miles an hour if you let him.
Clever Ari.
Yeah, exactly. The park full of the worst things. But then Jurassic World goes, well, what if we made it legitimate and bigger?
Yeah, which is kind of fun, but you just need to not expect it to be... Well, okay, in all these films, there's always a section of it where I'm like, okay, this bit is fun, but the rest of it is fluff. Like the bit where all the dinosaurs escape in Jurassic World and the man runs off with two mojitos.
Mm-hmm. Who's Jimmy Buffett?
Fucking wonderful.
That's an inside joke. That's Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's a
joke. Because he's like, I like drink.
That's true. And Colin Trevorrow loves comedy.
He does. He loves comedy. In the first one, he was like, I want Cannonball now. Cannonball riding a T-Rex at the end. So they were like, Colin, you're out of your mind. Don't know who they are. But you get another parallel because Ryan Johnson was like, I want Abe Edmondson now.
Yes.
because he's in The Last Jedi.
Very much so.
Mm.
Yes. And also, this one has to take the previous film, which did absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
And try and create a story and has absolutely way too many things happening and it's way too long.
My God, you're right. They're like identical in
terms
of...
They're so similar. I actually saw these one day after the other because I refused to watch the episode 9 when it came out because I hated Last Jedi so much.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That I just refused to watch it. But my friend was like, I want to watch you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend Ben, hello Ben, he will be listening. He
loves Ben.
This podcast.
Oh, hi Ben. Welcome Ben.
Welcome, Ben. It's Ben Kenobi, my friend. No, he was like, I saw Jurassic World Dominion and I went to his house the next day and we sat and watched Rise of Skywalker. I watched those two films back to back.
Oh my God.
And just a bunch of films in which there is no tension and nothing.
Yeah.
Stuff is set up and then immediately resolved and most interesting stuff happens off screen.
I think the greatest moment of anti-tension occurs in this film. And we'll get to
all of it. The entire film.
There's a specific moment where I was like, agog. Like, what? Anyway, we better start talking about it. But yeah.
I guess.
the dinosaurs are living in Big Rock National Park. Causes a car to fly off a cliff. The man carries on filming. Yes. One ruins a wedding.
Yeah.
These people
Before that, you missed the bit that, you know, exciting part of the film is
the Mosasaurus.
The best part of this entire franchise is that water dinosaur.
Mm.
I want it to appear every time there's water. If there's a puddle, I want it to come out of that.
The
bit later on with the ice, and I want it to come out of that.
Yeah. Do you remember the bit in Fallen Kingdom in the trailer where it showed it go to attack surfers, and you were like, wow, that's going to be great. And it was literally the last shot of the film.
That is exactly what I had. Yes. I hated that.
I was
that.
So
and
angry.
That is to set up this film. So then you went, okay, well, at least this film's going to do that.
Yeah.
And also look at the cast. And then it still went, how about... and also that, like, it spends a minute going, there's a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then dinosaur. And, like, if you watch... Like, the first Jurassic Park could easily have been, like... That made that scene last like 5 minutes and built tension and made it all good.
My God, imagine
and they're
Spielberg,
just kind of like, there's a boat, there's a dinosaur, fuck it.
Also, it just shows to show that InGen are breeding stupid animals because you're in the entire ocean that's full of fish and you're going to get ones that are caught by a boat. What are you doing? And in there's just little fish. You could go and eat a blue whale or something.
Yes.
They're in Alaska. There's loads of big lads there. Why are you bothering with a fishing boat?
Needs Google Maps.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you get that, and then they're like, okay, dinosaurs are in the world. Let's give you some exposition via news stories. Mm. Much like another film. Do you know another film that has the second scene as a news story giving exposition? Similar to this one.
Wall Street.
Citizen Kane.
Oh, yes, of course. That's what they're going for.
Very similar to Citizen Kane, this film.
Well, isn't Jurassic Park John Hammond's Rosebud, David? Isn't it? So, there's apparently a global black market of illegal dinosaurs, we hear, where you see two angry English people shouting at each other.
Yeah, Cockney Dinosaur Smugglers is the spin-off I want.
Yeah.
I want it so much.
I mean, they introduces so much here where you're just like, nope, none of this. Even in a fantastical world, none of this would happen.
Yeah, pterodactyls on a skyscraper really bugs me for reasons that I can't really work out.
Well, I've put here, that's 9/11 times 6. Particularly as they're on top of the Freedom Tower, which is built in the place of 9/11, which is what it was
5466.
Called.
5466.
That's right. Good math.
Thank you.
I think it's weird that they called the buildings 9/11 and that it happened on the 11th of September. I think that's a bit weird. So the dinosaurs are perched on top.
And that's one of the attractions in Terrorist Park. Sorry.
Well, exactly. Okay. The dinosaurs are perched on top and everyone's like, well, I suppose we'll just live with that. King Kong got shot for just going up there.
Yeah.
And they're living up there. They're nesting.
Bloody.
There's just no way. America particularly.
Pterodactyl privilege, basically.
Can you imagine how many dead dinosaurs there'd be on the sidewalk with these guys just popping caps in their asses as they're flying about?
Yes.
There's
yes,
no way
indeed.
That everyone would just shrug and go, oh, well, we live with dinosaurs now.
This is America. Yes,
exactly.
I would just do that.
Trump would be on there talking about there were no dinosaurs when he was president. Which is technically true.
He appears later in this film, by the way, you know, Donald
Does
Trump.
He? Does he really?
We'll get to it.
Oh, okay. Well, let me know. I must have missed that. So Biasin, as I mentioned...
creepy... Sorry, yeah.
No, go on.
Biasin guy. I just said there's a creepy billionaire appears, and he's a creepy billionaire, and you're like, I wonder if that creepy billionaire is a creepy billionaire with Biasin. Ooh, is he evil? Is he? Yes.
Oh, you'll have to remind us when we get there, because I haven't written that down.
That's fine.
So Biasin is run by... Now, this is confusing for people who might not realise, but Dodgson from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But we can't have that actor back because he is a literal child sex offender.
Yep.
So they've recast him as Cameron Scott. I think it's Cameron Scott, who is George C. Scott's son, fact fans.
Oh, my God.
Now, he has created a sanctuary, as I say, in the Dolomite Mountains. And if you notice later on, he's even got the little Barbasol can, which makes no sense.
Wait. Are you saying that the evil Biasin Steve Jobs guy is the guy who hands Newman the can?
Yep. See, it's not made obvious.
Why
enough,
I didn't put
it?
That together? Okay, this answers so many questions I have at the end as to why he has cans of shaving cream.
Yes, there you go. It's not
and
made obvious
tried
enough.
To make him more evil than a nonce.
Well, again, yeah, exactly. It's like, welcome to Nonce Park. that's the second bad idea he had. See, again, they've taken a character who's just like essentially set dressing, like with Woo, and gone, what if he was evil? And everyone's like, you know what? I didn't even know he was in this. I didn't even put two and two together.
Yeah.
So
there's a bit
at
the end where Alan Grant goes, I remember you, to Woo. And you're like, no, you didn't.
No, there's no way you remember.
Had so much more else happening.
Yeah. That would be like going, on the day of when my house burnt down, I saw someone at the newsagent.
Yeah.
And then 30 years later, you go, I remember you. You were at the newsagent the day my house burnt down. You wouldn't remember that person. What he's saying is I
also holding a lighter. God.
Exactly, yeah. I don't like that they've made Woo a baddie. I want to put that on record.
Yes, they just did it because they could.
Yeah.
Which is literally the opposite of what the message of the first film is.
Exactly.
You spent so long about thinking about whether you could.
Oh, my God.
You never stopped to think of whether you should. The entire Jurassic World franchise.
There's a great moment of that coming up. I can't wait to get to some of these. It's just a shame we have to sail through the choppy waters of the film. The news then goes, oh, there's also rumours of a human clone, Charlotte Lockwood, who's on the loose. So then we get all the boring lads from the last film. So you get Claire, Bryce Dallas Howard. That's not a name in the film. It's just brackets, Bryce Dallas Howard. You get the vet lady and Franklin, the sort of timid lad from the last
film. Yes.
That no one remembers. They're investigating illegal dinosaur breeding sites.
Yes.
And they're now like hunt saboteurs. So what journey Claire's been on in this? Because she starts off as a corporate hun stroke whore in the first one, Jurassic World.
I'm right here.
Oh, yeah, sorry, with an H. in the first one, she's like, can't even take off her high-heeled shoes because she's that much of a lady, corporate lady. I still can't get over how weird that is. It feels like Tarantino.
She is kind
advised.
Of the most interesting part of this entire franchise, and kind of carries it as best she can. But
she
it's
does
like watching somebody carry the biggest pile of turd.
Yeah, but she does. She is sort of far too malleable in terms of a character. Like she changes as to what the writer's whim is in each film.
Yes.
Like she's not a consistent character.
No, I think that's the writer's fault rather than her fault. Maybe.
Oh, not her fault. I like Bryce Dallas Howard. On the one hand, I feel sorry for her having to be in this shit that she probably signed up for three and didn't want to do any of the other two. But on the other hand, I'm pleased she got loads of money. So,
yeah, fair.
Win.
She did. You know, she didn't have it any other way. Not kind of a few nepo babies in this film.
There's quite a few. There's quite a few die nepo babies as well.
I like this bit because it goes from like, you know, we've had the montage of there's dinosaurs and you're like watching the newsreader and the entire time I just want the newsreader to be eaten and they don't get eaten.
No.
And then but it's all CGI and you're like, okay. And then it cuts to this bit and it's basically Claire wandering around a puppet shop going, look, we used a real puppet.
It's Bernie Clifton and his ostrich.
running around asking for help because no one believes that he's a man wearing a suit because it's so convincing.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a pair of trousers. It's a man bird. Run. You're all stupid. No, it's not Bernie Clifton. It's a little triceratops, a little cute triceratops.
Yeah. Mm. It's very cute and it's lit very well. And she's like, right, we're nicking this. And then it turns into a Fast and Furious film for
two minutes,
I guess. Like, this film really relies on the Jurassic World as a car chase franchise.
Oh my God, isn't it? It's like the studio said to him, we want some Mission Impossible stroke James Bond stroke Fast and Furious viewers in.
This film is littered with, like, I am aware what other films do.
Mm.
I don't know how to do it well.
Mm.
So this bit is like, well, Fast and Furious has car chases, so they're popular. Let's do that.
Well, it's just my ongoing theory that modern blockbusters are now asylum films. You know, they used to do the asylum films, so like Jurassic Park came out and they'd have like Dinosaur Pond, that sort of thing. But they've now switched. I mean, I'm not saying asylum's better, but the amount of times I've gone to see one of these big blockbusters like Star Wars that you mentioned this, and I've just sat there going, what the fuck is this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just really weird. Like, there's no... And they're just cherry-picking bits and pieces from other good or better films.
Yeah.
And you've got,
like,
dinosaurs.
The Biosyn guy is basically, like, he implies that he's, like a interesting, like, there's a dichotomy to his character.
Hmm.
He says that, but there's no evidence of it.
No.
And it tries to become an Indiana Jones film at one point.
Yeah.
In about two scenes' time, it becomes a cowboy film.
Well, like stroke Crocodile Dundee. So, hey, I tell you what, that
you
last...
You call that a Diplodocus?
Exactly. Yeah. I tell you what, you talk about Indiana Jones and dinosaurs. Hey, I've seen the last Indiana Jones film. That's got a dinosaur in it as well.
Has it?
No, I just meant Harrison Ford's really old. Like a fossil. So we might as well talk about that. Owen Grady, who... Oof. It feels like Chris Pratt's just decided, I'm going to play this man as the most boring man in the world. Like, all he does is squint and try and look like he's doing Blue Steel all the time. And he's such a fucking dead character.
I watched Moneyball just before I rewatched this.
Great film.
When Chris Pratt wants to be a serious actor, he's like, engage chin.
Yeah.
And he sticks out his chin and he's like, I am being serious now because my chin is the furthest forward it can be. But yeah, he's an absolute block of wood. Oh. I guess it doesn't help that he's like that. It just like goes from like car chases and everything to being like, it's a cowboy film now for no reason.
Yeah.
And he's like riding on the horse, but he's definitely just in a green screen going like up and down. Like, you know, Christina Aguilera in that Virgin Media advert from years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
On that chair.
Hey, do you think for research to look at dinosaurs, do you reckon he went to his father-in-law's house and just looked at him? Hey? Hey? Because his father-in-law's Arnold Schwarzenegger. I love Arnie. That's really horrible. Sorry, everyone.
Just, he looks becoming a very ageist podcast.
Very ageist. I hate them. You know why I hate them? Because it's like looking in a mirror.
Oh, God.
I wish it was. I wish I did look like Arnie now. Owen stops loads of those dinosaurs with the big heads.
Yeah,
they're sort of marauding, and he wrangles them and does his like Paul Hogan does. To be fair, he's got his own thing which he uses a lot in this, and even to the point later on Sam Neill does it, and the child, which is to hold out your hand.
He thinks he's a Jedi. Jedi mind trick, which my girlfriend said is basically what they do in How to Train Your Dragon as well.
Oh,
which
is
again
it?
Is just another example of like, this film has seen another film and gone, well, they do that in this film. So,
well, I was going to say,
just, he's just trying to Jedi mind fuck a dinosaur.
Better if he just bummed one, wouldn't it? Just slowly, the camera creeps around the bushes and he's just bumming a dinosaur. Just to introduce some sort of dichotomy to his character. Is he a good man or a bad man? He's definitely a bad man. No, let's not do that. I was going to say, borrowing from children's films for a minute, the baddie in this feels very much... I don't know if you've seen the film Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
Oh, no, I haven't.
The baddie in that is making genetic animals out of living food.
Okay.
But he's got the same vibe as the baddie in this. But, you know, wait till you watch Cloudy with a Chance of Meebles 2 and then come back to me and let me know what you think.
I put it on my list.
Good. At the remote cabin in the Sierra Nevada mountains, Claire and Owen are secretly raising Maisie Lockwood, who is a character that was brought in the last film's granddaughter, who apparently was the character that was brought in the last film played by That'll Do Pig Man. James Cromwell. He apparently, we find out in the last film, was best friends with John Hammond and they set up Jurassic Park together, despite never being mentioned ever before.
Yes. Yes, very retconny.
Do you think he was a Walter Mitty character? Do you reckon he was a rich man who just told everyone he was friends with John Hammond, but he'd never met
him? Yeah. Just walking around going, I did that.
Yeah, it's like when your dad goes, you know what, my dad told me he was nearly a red coat. Years I thought that was true. Now I don't think it was true. Yeah, I don't think that was true. If you're listening, Dad, sorry. But I'm old enough now to think for myself. Thank you very much. But anyway, they're looking after Benjamin Lockwood's granddaughter, who's not really his granddaughter because she's a clone.
She's a clone.
Which is another idea they introduced in the last film, which is terrible.
Yes, this film really suffers from, I want to go see the dinosaur film. What is this film about? Mm-hmm. Clones and locust.
Mm-hmm.
She rides a BMX like she's in Stranger Things, because again, more imagery from other things. And also she watches two Diplodocus or long necks or whatever they are for a bit.
Well, this is, again...
Remember the long neck from the first one?
We have
and then another
have...
one appears out of the snow and then they go off to fuck, I assume.
And everyone watches. It's called Diplodoking instead of Dogging. Because we have to have a moment in these sequels of ironically engineered wonder. Because you have that famous moment from the first one where they see the Brachiosaurus, I think? And,
yes.
And you get the beautiful Spielberg close-ups and all that. But since then, they've been trying to get that back and they can't. And in this one, they're just like, I will just have him looking at one at a building site.
Yeah.
That'll do. Have it snowing a bit.
Yeah.
And she's thinking, I know what it's like to be a boring genetic error.
Yeah. I know what to be something that's just rammed into a sequel for no reason.
Now, I was going to ask, I've written down here, I was going to ask you a question. Now.
Yes, please.
The dinosaurs in this film, and this isn't me slagging off computer graphics people. Do you think, because even if my son and I watched the first Jurassic World a couple of weeks ago, because he loves that film, and all the effects in that look pretty good.
Yeah.
Now this, on occasion, they look pretty bad. Do you think it's because Marvel came along in the interim time and has basically sucked all of the energy out of CG and has got like 58 million effects houses all working in unison? So when films like this are made, they have to get the scraps of energy.
I guess so. That might be true. The main problem with it is that it's all in sunlight.
Yeah, that's true.
And like all the best dinosaur effects look better at night when in the rain.
Yeah.
If the actors are phoning it in and the writers are phoning it in, why shouldn't the CGI people?
You're right. You're right. No one cared here, did they?
Well, like, isn't it like there's famously only 8 minutes of dinosaurs in Jurassic Park?
Yes.
Whereas this kind of just fucks a load of dinosaurs at the screen at you every like 12 seconds, but not in an interesting way.
But at least,
like, oh, there's one. I mean, there's one.
Yeah.
And there's one.
At least they're not making them up this time, which was the most offensive thing about the other two. We're going to make a new dinosaur. Why? You've got fucking millions of them you can choose from. Why are you doing that? Anyway, so Claire... Yeah, and Maisie have a chat about how she can't go. She's been out in town again. She's not allowed to. She has to stay in. Like she's John Darwin, the canoe man.
And she wonders in and she goes, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm just burning some blankets.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Why? Okay. Why are you burning? Whose blood is on that blanket?
Are you doing secret abortions again? But she tells her, Maisie goes, oh, I'm not a real person. Storms off. And then Claire says to her, you know what? You're the only her there ever was. And I'm like, well, that's not true. You're a literal clone. So you're the other one of you that there ever was. So it's just like such a weird thing to say. So then Owen returns home, looks bored. And
with his chin out.
With his chin out. And he's like, oh, I'll speak to her, Claire. I'm a man. And then he goes, shut up. And then she storms off and he goes, oh, that didn't go too well, actually. And then we get the raptor, Blue, who everyone loves Blue. Everyone loves Blue, who is now essentially a Care Bear. Running about, squawking.
Living in an abandoned school bus. God, which is there for... Why is there an abandoned school bus in the middle of the forest?
I just hate... I hate it. Everything from the first film that you were taught, programmed to be terrified by, are now like cuddly, lovely honey bunnies in this, and it really pisses me off.
Yes, and you get the hallmark so that Blue's had a baby, everybody. But how?
Maybe that baby and is then... Dinosaur Jesus.
Yeah, and they ran along together like it's a fucking Hallmark movie.
It's so annoying.
It's so weird. They like play like lovely music for the raptors that were like literally the most terrifying thing in the first film.
Yeah.
And now you're like, but I love her.
And the Maisie is being watched by unscrupulous poachers who apparently...
By Kings of Leon.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently in the extended cut, which is you couldn't pay me to watch, but you have more screen time and it tells you what they're really doing.
Yes, but you know Ben that I mentioned earlier? Ben,
yeah.
He bought the Blu-ray and watched the extended cut, and I was like, what's fucking wrong with you? Oh, and he sent me a little video of them chatting. It's when he's like, round, when Chris Pratt is doing his cowboy bit, and they have a chat, and I'm like, why is there more of this film?
There shouldn't be more, it should be less.
Yeah, the director's cut should be a minute, and it should just be the opening minute.
I mean, David, before they even knew what they had... They'd packaged it, they patented it, and now they're selling it. You know what I mean? But anyway, Ben, you were welcome, now you're not welcome. No. So Maisie and Beta, she's named the little baby Beta because she's Andrew Tate. And she thinks the baby is no good. She thinks it's a rubbish baby. It's a Beta soy boy, she calls it, when no one's listening. They're both kidnapped by these poachers.
Yeah.
And Chris Pratt runs after them but fails to catch them and then goes back and says to the dinosaur, I'll get him back. Oh. And dinosaur's going,
let's make a promise.
Yeah.
Let's make a promise to make this film 20 minutes longer than it needs to be. And nobody gives a shit. It's so boring. Like watching a dinosaur give. Watching Chris Pratt give a dinosaur a promise in a Jurassic Park film is fucking ludicrous.
So bad. I mean, the dinosaur...
I promise I'll get her back! Yeah. I don't care.
I think the dinosaur should go off and make its own film called Not Without My Daughter, the Sally Field film, but with raptors. That raptor then becomes married to Alfred Molina. It's a very painful film, but better than this, I'd imagine. So, meanwhile, in West Texas, just as you're thinking, my God, I'm loving this dinosaur film, we then get swarms of giant locusts attacking crops and terrifying children.
Mm-hmm. At least one of these children should have died.
So there's no. Yeah, one of them should have been killed.
This film doesn't have any innocent people getting eaten by dinosaurs or other, and it really suffers from that.
I mean, I might as well say what I was going to say later now. One of the cast should have got killed at the end, or near the end. Like,
this entire film
is me
wanting Chris Pratt to get killed.
Yes.
And then he doesn't.
It makes thematic sense that he is killed by a dinosaur.
Yeah.
He could sacrifice himself so they'll get away, but no. Pussy's out.
So many moments in which he could have been killed and so doesn't. Many. And every time I'm like, oh.
Even getting out of a car. Just has a heart attack.
Yeah. Just stubs his toe and gets gangrene. It's like, oh.
He should be like Donnie in The Big Lebowski. Just after the scene, they just cut to him lying there. He's having a heart attack and then he's dead. Brilliant. Let's move on. So Dr. Ellie Sattler turns up.
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern's back. Because
I love Laura Dern.
Everyone loves Laura Dern. And I don't think anyone would be sad about her getting more money for this.
No, I'm fine with that. She'd just done Twin Peaks The Return, so she can do anything in my book after that.
Yeah. And she was in The Last Jedi.
Yep.
Yeah. So
she's also wearing the same outfit from the first one, or like the same colours, weirdly.
And she removes her sunglasses in the same way as she did in the Jeep.
Exactly the same way, yeah.
Because that's the way Ellie... I could imagine Colin Will Used to Love Me Trevorrow saying to her, no, don't take the glasses off like that. Ellie takes glasses off like this and then shows her a photo from the first one. Oh yeah, you're right. Sorry, I forgot.
So and then the farmer goes like, oh, that field. They're not, the locusts aren't eating the crops in that field. So there's a big swarm of locusts come and attack the children. Yeah. Ellie comes and investigate it, and the locusts have eaten some of the field crops, but not others. And it turns out that the crops they haven't eaten are made by, Biasin, who could be evil, but we don't know yet.
I mean, they are, aren't they?
Yep, because there's no tension in this movie.
So what do you do when you think of a giant locust and crops? That's right, you go and see paleontologist Dr. Alan Grant, who is in a cave going, hey, dinosaurs are great, aren't they? Bones, fossils, brilliant. Anyway, that's all for today, everyone. Everyone leaves.
So many dinosaur experts in this film just saying, like, dinosaurs lived a long time ago and were dangerous.
That's lunch.
Yeah, I wrote a book. Please read the book.
I wrote many books.
So
Ellie comes to see him, and we find out very quickly she's no longer married.
Yeah.
Because in Jurassic Park 3, she is married with a baby, and they do a switch, don't they? Because you're like, oh, they've had a baby together. No, she's gone off with another man and cuckolded Alan.
What? Was there romantic tension between the two of them in the first film?
Well, her and Alan were a couple, yeah.
Are they actually?
Yeah.
Have I just forgotten that?
Because Ian says to Alan, are you and Ellie? And Alan goes, yeah, why?
Oh, and he goes, oh, no reason. I don't think I ever picked up on
that. I wanted to have sex with your girlfriend while you watched. Is that all right? No, not really. It's a bit weird that we're on this, yours being super horny all the way around this dinosaur, looking at actual dinosaurs. I think you'll look back in that in a few years and think, I probably could have behaved better on that. You wanked while the T-Rex was out there. I'm just saying. You didn't even look at it. You're looking at Ellie.
Oh, dear. And, like, he has the photo of Ellie on this. So they go into his tent.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a photo of Ellie, which he, like, swiftly takes down.
Yeah.
And then he picks up what I can only describe as a jar of piss.
Mm.
And he's like, do you want some piss?
I seem to remember you were into that. I wasn't. Oh, yeah, sorry, it was someone else. You still want me to shit on your tits? That wasn't me, sorry. That woman I met.
He's just taking down photos of shit-covered tits.
So the message of this scene is that Alan's on for some prime fanny if he wants it. If he joins forces with Ellie to investigate Biasin. Because
yeah, he goes, you didn't come all this way to see the dig. And she's like, no, I would like to see your genitals.
Yeah, all right.
Like,
I shall grant you your wish, and I'll saddle you with them, Saddler.
And yet again, they imply that they're going to go try and find out whether Biasin are evil or not.
I'd like it if she was like, yeah, because I came to see you because you are an expert at locusts, if I remember rightly. And he's like, he stands in front of all these books, goes, yeah, that's right. Love him.
Just taking down photos of him pissing on locusts.
Have you got a locust in the fridge? Don't know. Didn't put it there. Someone else. Joke, probably.
This one's in the freezer.
Joke, probably. These lads are always up to hijinks. So he goes with her because they determined that locust was genetically engineered with Cretaceous period arthropod DNA, but also with contemporary migratory locusts. So Biasin's definitely behind it. So she goes to Alan.
So there's no tension in this film.
There's got to be some tension. They need to break into the sanctuary and have an invite from an old friend. And she says there are things she says there are things she wants to see, and no one makes a cock joke.
That is
pathetic.
True.
So they go and see some rescue dinosaur puppets on the way. We get more
Chekhov's T-Rex.
Ooh, oh yeah, of course. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. We get lots of going goochie-coo to a little rubber triceratops that we saw at the beginning. I think it might be the same one that Claire
rescued.
Might
be the same one, which I think is interesting. But more importantly, because all of the dinosaurs are related to the ones from the previous films, like that triceratops could probably be related to the one that like Ellie like sifted through her shit.
Yeah. Could be, couldn't it?
Like,
I remember your grandpa.
I remember your mum's shit.
Yeah. Alan's like, are you talking? Oh, no, not talking about me.
Alan's just taking samples. Put the Polaroid away, Alan.
Why have you brought a coffee table? So I just go everywhere with it. I like to be comfortable. And prunes. So Franklin now works for the CIA in their Dangerous Species Division. And I'm just at this point, I'm like, I don't remember anything about him from the last film, so fine. I don't know. No idea.
He was in the first one at the beginning of the rescue. I kind of remember him being there. I don't remember anything about him. When they're doing the car chase at the beginning and Ellie's like...
Yeah.
Not Ellie. Claire's taken the dinosaur.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like, I can't do this anymore. I've got a real job. And I'm like, what the fuck does your CV say?
Yeah. Because in
have you got a job?
Exactly. Because in the last film, he works with Claire and the vet lady at a charity.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to save the dinosaurs because the island's going to blow up. So he's gone from there to the CIA. Okay, fine. But he says, look, I know where Maisie's gone. She's gone to Malta.
Yes. Oh, before that, when they're about to kidnap, this is where Donald Trump appears, is when they're about to go kidnap Maisie and the raptor, is the raptor's kind of doing some hunting and there's a dead fox on the floor that looks exactly like Donald Trump's hair.
And you think that was on purpose?
I think, yeah. They were just... And then, so yeah, then they get kidnapped. So they're like, where is it? Yeah, CIA. And like, I reckon the CIA probably has good security and like probably like password stuff. But he just kind of goes like, they're like, we're outside. Can you give us some information? And he's like, and then he just goes outside with one of their iPads and just sits in full view of the cafe, which probably has a million cameras on it. Like, this guy?
Not so much deep throat as hollow mouth. That doesn't matter. Shallow mouth? No. But again, at this point, you're just shrugging, go, fine.
Caleb Heron's in this bit, which is another comedian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's another comedian there. The guy with the glasses who sat next to him in the CIA.
Oh,
office.
Yeah. Right.
He's
So he's basically gone to the fucking comedy store to cast this film. Fine. Hey, might as well.
Potentially.
He is a bloody joker himself, isn't he? So Alan and Ellie arrive at Biosyn and we meet Ramsay, their guide. And he said he talks about it being a safe haven. We also find out an important plot point that when they're flying towards Biosyn, there's a special magic force field that stops the flying dinosaurs coming in. And again, we're not really... I think it's something to do with sound. I don't know. But you'd think the odd one would come in. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And they have a T-Rex And then says, oh, we've got a Giganotosaurus as well. And everyone's like, ah, whatever.
Yeah, they've got a Gigalosaurus.
Yeah.
And he's there.
Well, they literally show it asleep in the jungle.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, I'll get to this more importantly later, but let's just park that there for now. So there's
again,
no
just
wonder.
Showing dinosaurs and going, there's some dinosaurs. Yeah, can we see them do something? No. And also in this film, they really go to town on, like, there's Gigalosaurus and, like, a fact about him. Mm. Every time they see a dinosaur, somebody kind of, like, pauses and is like, that's Gigalosaurus.
Yeah.
His nan shops at B&M bargains.
Well, when they see the Giganotosaurus later, the way she says it, she goes, it's the greatest, you know, it's the biggest carnivore that's ever lived. I just kept thinking, it's the largest lingerie section in Ireland, so I'm led to believe. So Dodgson greets them and he explains that they're close to unlocking the genome, which will cure cancer, will help with cancer, Alzheimer's and AIDS.
Hooray!
Hey, well done. And you should have a little cut to scientists literally holding down dinosaurs and drilling into their brains. It'd be fun. Making a compy smoke a fag. You know, they used to experiment on beagles. This is fine though, because they're not real animals, are they? We're just creating them. Putting lipstick on a Diplodocus.
Just giving it some blusher.
Yeah. Just to see if it dies.
Getting the whatever the jowly one is, just sticking its jowls out and they kind of decorated it.
Yeah. Putting a bra on a T-Rex. Dear.
So they stand, they meet him and they're like, well, let's get a photo. And then they stand in front of a giant circle, which time you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
But after the film, my girlfriend said she knew what they were going to do with that giant circle, which I guess Alan Grant had different ideas.
I guess he did. I think by that point, he just wanted to die. Anyway, so Ian Malcolm is there doing a speech. Now, in the last film, Ian Malcolm was all bearded and looked fed up. But this one, they've gone, Jeff, just do the same shit you did in the first one. He's literally on Biosyn's ground.
Yep.
Talking about how we lack dominion over nature. We're subordinate to it. He's being anti whatever they're doing at Biosyn. And he's paid to do that. That's like having a bloke at Chessington do a speech about how many people died on the vampire ride. Why would you want that person there? I don't understand.
Because he's an expert.
On what? Chaos theory? I mean, it didn't even work in the first film, did it? It's like we need three experts. We got an expert on plants, expert on dinosaurs, and a bloke who's good on countdown. Doesn't make any sense. He's a mathematician.
Yeah. And he also is just standing there saying stuff that they clearly all already know.
Yeah. And he's got tenure. A
big old round of applause.
Yeah.
For like, dinosaurs might kill us all. And
what you're doing is really bad. Thanks very much, Mr. Malcolm. Thank you.
Oh, well done. Finally, someone said it.
He's definitely shagging all the female students, isn't he? Probably some of the male ones as well.
Yeah.
That's what he's got going on there. He's like the teacher from Animal House. He's just smoking doobies and having sex with the students. Love that for him. We find out that he's been sliding into Ellie's DMs.
Yeah.
And Alan's like, what's a DM? I'm like, get with a program, Alan. Get your head from under the coffee table and get with the 21st century.
He's like, I've got a dick mount too.
Yeah.
And then just wanders in.
Nice.
And he's like, he's chewing the scenery
so
much when he's... Because he's... So basically Jeff Goldblum's like, I'm going to pretend that I'm being normal before I start whispering things very loudly to Ellie. But he's chewing the scenery. And the way he chews the scenery is he... basically does a David Lynch impression.
Yeah.
It's very... He's like, dinosaurs, and you're like...
Well, it feels like they've got they've showed him his performance from Jurassic Park, but they've cut out all the bits where he's talking. It's just the bits where he's kind of going...
Yeah.
Just do that.
Just smouldering.
Yeah. But he tells Ellie in secret that Biosyn... He pretends not to care. But then when the one of the members of the PIN is working the coffee machine... And it goes really loud. And then during that moment, he tells Ellie, Biosyn are really evil. They're basically dinosaur Nazis. Here's a special pass that'll get you everywhere.
It turns out that Biosyn are evil. What?
Yeah, who'd have thought
There was no way I could have worked that out already.
So Dodgson...
And whilst he's doing that, Sam Neill's getting coffee from another comedian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
just need more comedians in this film.
We need more. We need more, and we need them to be not used in a very good way, please. Stat, get me Les Dawson. He's dead. All right.
Just Bernard Manning.
Yeah, get me
Roy
Bernard
Chubby
Manning.
Brown.
Imagine Bernard Manning at the coffee. I tell you what, this coffee is black, isn't it? No, cut. Cut.
Bernard, can we try that again?
No. I've made your cup of coffee like a cunt. Cat. So Dodgson is exploiting the dinosaurs, and him and Dr. Wu meet. And Dr. Wu is now essentially a depressed, long-haired man in a cardigan. He's basically like everyone at
sad cardigan man.
Smith's Cafe he's opened.
Yeah, he looks like he's in a 2005 indie band.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like...
He's sad. He's sad that he's caused ecological collapse. And I'm like, you weren't sad when Toby Jones got eaten, or Rufus, what, Spall? Rufus Spall? I can't remember his name. Anyway, the lad from the last one who got eaten. You weren't sad then. You weren't sad in Jurassic World when Jimmy Buffett nearly got killed. But you're sad now that some crops are dying.
Yes. I think he's sad because he's realised they might get found out. And he's had some time to reflect and buy a cardigan.
Yeah. I was happy in the haze of a functioning park, but heaven knows I'm miserable now.
I was going to clone some dinosaurs, and then I cloned some dinosaurs. And heaven knows I'm miserable now.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'd have released that as a single to go with the film like they used to do.
Just like a 5 minute credit sequence, like The Never Ending Story, because this film needs to be longer.
It does. Oh my god, what a brilliant idea. Imagine him riding, his secret plan is he's genetically made Falco from Never Ending Story, and the end credits is him flying, doing the yay and spraying all the crops with good crops to get rid of the locusts.
And then he goes on top of the pops and like waves around the corn.
The corn, yes! And the drummer's dressed as a locust. Yeah, there you go. Take that, Colin Trevorrow. That's funnier than anything you've got in this film, Colin Trevorrow. I'll tell you that much. So Dodgson then gives him some advice. He says, hey, follow through. I'm like, that's the last thing you should do.
You don't have to shit his pants. I think that's what you did on the script. And then Alan pops his head around the corner. He's like, yeah? Yeah.
I was up for the tour, but now I'm very interested. He then tells Wu, we found the girl and the raptor baby. And he says, well, that's why we work as a team, Wu. You're the brains and I'm the planner.
Yeah.
And then Wu goes, look, the locusts didn't get traced back to us. It's all over. And I'm like, well, if you're going to have them not eat biocin crops, then maybe that's your fault.
Yeah.
If they ate all crops, no one would know you sent them. Even though you're the only place in the world that makes big things.
Yeah.
It's like Henry Ford going, someone's been run over by a car. They're going to trace it back to us. They're going to. Don't worry, they won't. They will.
Alexander Graham Bell being like, someone just gave me a phone call and told me I was a cunt down the phone. Who was that?
There's only one phone next door. It wasn't me.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/ upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.